the Premier League on OTB.
Here's Marcus Rashford, back to Shaw again, left footed shot, low, and he scores! Luke Shaw makes it 2-0 to Manchester United.
The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Tyrone are the All-Ireland football champions for the fourth time, and the first time since 2008, a five-point win over Mayo at Croke Park on Saturday evening. Later this hour, we're going to be talking live to one half of Tyrone's management team. Brian Duher is going to join us at around about 7:30. We're also going to check in with two Tyrone legends, Brian McGuigan and Ryan McMenamin. And then after 8 o'clock, we'll be analysing the game with Mike Quirk and Billy Joe Padden. The Galway Camogie side just arriving back in Galway. Around about now, we're going to be talking about their All-Ireland final win over Cork with Ursula Jacob. And on the football show from 9, Pat Nevin will be talking us through the weekend's matches, including Cristiano Ronaldo's goal-scoring return to Old Trafford. So it is the Monday after the All-Ireland football final, and I guess we've all been here before.
What did you think of the game, Mr. Caban?
Brilliant game.
Yeah.
Great game. I've read and spoken to you guys, maybe the lack of quality that was probably in the game overall, but just for that tension, the moments in the game, it was gripping. It was gripping. It was a fabulous game to be at. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Great game.
Nay would break your heart.
Oh, yeah. Nathan and myself, we were in tears almost at the end of the game, but it was...
Our first Dublin 3 in a row since 1923. First 3 in a row in football since Kerry in 1986. For Mayo, meanwhile, 1951 continues to loom large, and it was another All-Ireland Sunday full of what-ifs, and we'll be back next year. Yeah. Does anyone else not think Mayo absolutely threw it away? Two or three early missed points in the first half, one-on-one goal chance, unforgivable sending off, says Lenny. It's hard to argue in some ways.
Yeah, well, Dublin had a good goal chance themselves, didn't they, said by Clark. So, so that maybe even itself up. But I do feel the first half,
there was like no
clear chances, really. Yeah. I feel as though Mayo should have been two or three up at half time. Yeah.
53106, the text number. We're at Off The Ball on Twitter. Oh, dear. Spare a moment, everyone. Spare a moment. Nathan Murphy, of the 10 All-Irelands in your lifetime, where did this one rank in terms of disappointment? Not so bad, maybe? Not so bad?
I didn't think we'd start by talking about this 10 in a row. No, not too bad. It didn't feel like a real All-Ireland final. Being there on Saturday night, there was none of the tension, none of the atmosphere, all the standout moments of All-Ireland final. They were all missing, except for the same familiar scoreline at the end of it.
Hiya. So, 11 All-Ireland finals now without a win for Mayo. 53106 is the text number. Add Off The Ball. Come on, get it in. Unleash, unload. Or if you're a Mayo fan, just, you know, share the tears with us on Off The Ball this evening. If you're a Tyrone fan, share the joy with us this evening. Adrian Barry is with us. Good evening.
Nathan, I don't know what to say to you. Let's start off by congratulating Tyrone. Unbelievable outcome. Incredible team. They're around for a while. But it would be wrong not to spend a portion of this evening luxuriating in your misery.
You're wearing a Mayo headband.
Get user headbands. 2 euro outside Croke Park yesterday. I was there yesterday in my Mayo gear. Not quite as on the record as a Mayo, an out Mayo supporter like you. But
no, your mother was the head. I told everybody on Thursday night, your mother was head of the Mayo Association in Athlone.
Good man. She'd be delighted with that now. It'll help ease the pain a little bit. And she had her flag stolen from outside her house in Athlone as well, if anybody's seen.
That'd be the Roscommon side.
She won't need it for another 12 months anyway, but, just return it to its rightful owner. We were there. We were there. I was there with my four-year-old, and we had a great day out. We were all bedecked in the green and red. We're sort of keeping ourselves to ourselves, to be honest with you. And we were roared at by a Tyrone fan at one point, which really... You know, I don't have the close ties that you have, Nathan. It's obviously guilty by association. So I was cheering them on rather than being an absolute fanatic and absolutely keeping ourselves to ourselves. But when the penalty was missed, he was all up in our grill, leaning across the four-year-old to roar in my face about how it was never a penalty to begin with. I was like, at that point, I was like, right, that's it. I'm all in here. So even more devastated at the outcome. But look.
Did you roar back?
I didn't. I just said, you wouldn't mind calming down a bit. Like, apart from anything else, you're not wearing a mask and you're roaring in my face. It might be an idea if you sat down and stopped leaning across my four-year-old and chill out a small bit. But maybe not leaning across a four-year-old, but we've all been there. The tensions get a bit high, and he was obviously a Tyrone man and was full-blooded behind his team, so look, totally fair enough. Can't grumble too much. How does I was interested to listen to the ranking there, the power ranking of pain. Where does it sit?
Not near the top. I'm not sad. I'm just disappointed. Because,
oh God, that's worse.
There was so little to take out of it. I think as Mayo people, you're addicted to the drama as much as the want for success. And there's been so much drama and so many different, remarkable, crazy things have happened through the years that when it does happen, even though you're incredibly disappointed, it sort of keeps the conversation going through the winter of what might have been or who screwed us over. And we're still talking about Pat McEnany 25 years on for the damage he did to Liam McHale. And not really any of that. Even with the missed penalty, there was no spark in the game from a Mayo point of view. There was never a moment where the full wave of Mayo momentum came that's been in pretty much every All-Ireland final. Never were able to see it through, but there was always a spell where it just came alive. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And it was a good Tyrone performance that beat a very average Mayo performance. And I don't think any Mayo person could have any qualms that Tyrone won. Maybe if Mayo took their goal chances, it's a very different result. And maybe we're going a little bit too much on the scoreboard journalism that, you know, Tyrone won the game or convincing winners and there's a hammering of Mayo once again as usually takes place. But Mayo, four goal chances, take two of them. There's a different outcome for Cathal McShane and that flick goes awry. And listen, but that's what might have been from a Mayo point of view. But I thought Tyrone were very impressive. And yeah, Mayo, just from about 20 minutes out, it felt as though that spark really wasn't there, unfortunately. So there's not a lot to talk about.
The penalty felt like a gut punch, didn't it? Like, it felt, even in the ground, him missing that was 2 points down 5 minutes into the second half. Was it? Am I right on that? And it was, it felt like it sucked the energy out of the ground from a Mayo point of view.
It didn't give an opportunity for the energy to really come alive. That was the moment. If Mayo had scored, I think that's the moment of momentum where it comes and where it does come alive and the spark is ignited. And you wonder then, could they have taken advantage over the next 20 minutes? Could they have gone on a run and kicked 3 or 4 points and gone away from Tyrone? But I watched the penalty again and again, and I'm convinced that it was down to Niall Morgan and his impact on O'Donoghue and his step off the line. And
he was off the line.
I don't have an issue with that, but I do wonder, was he going to put it low and right? And actually saw Morgan, instead of switching and going low and left, he thought, I'm going to have to hit this right in the top corner, which is just that bit too risky. And yeah, from then on, you just felt Tyrone had it. Part of me was thinking, like, maybe this will be the greatest comeback we've ever seen with 5 minutes to go. And you somehow nick two late goals, but full on panic mode had ensued by then. And I think there'll be a long, hard winter as usual when you lose an All-Ireland final. But a lot of looking at, as much as the players, I think the tactics, because Tyrone brought what everyone expected Tyrone to bring. And did Mayo bring anything different to that? It doesn't feel as though Tyrone offered a huge amount new. I know there was a lot of outstanding individual performances, but you just felt that maybe Mayo needed something different. When Potter Gahora said after the semi-final, we have only one plan, I didn't think that's what he meant.
Did feel a bit like that, all right, yeah. But like, maybe, I don't know, this is exactly what you're hinting at, and I'm certainly not saying that Mayo didn't deserve to be in the final. Like, they beat Dublin, but it does, like, I was making the point on Friday's OTBAM that the path that both of them had taken there, like, I don't think you can really compare, was it Sligo, Leitrim, Galway and Dublin, like, a bad Dublin or a poorer Dublin. Cavan, Donegal, Monaghan, Kerry feels like a, like that feels like a real, like as a path to an All-Ireland, isn't it? Like a couple of those, Donegal, certainly in the conversation about winning All-Ireland, Kerry very much so. And like, maybe it's just a bit, look, at the same point could have been made at Tyrone if they'd been beaten, that it was too early in their life cycle, but God, they looked like a really mature team, actually, in hindsight, Tyrone on Saturday. But maybe in the cycle of that Mayo team, and particularly when you take out Killian, like, does Mullen start if it's not a final. Owen McLaughlin, like three starters. I don't know. They need, look at you. You've just gone through yourself there. The ifs, ands, and buts. How many of them are there? Normally there might be one, and you might say, if only, you know, the GPS had hit the ball and knocked it off the thing, then it would have been all right. But there was certainly a lot of them leaving on Saturday. But yeah, hard to know. Must be tough place for you, Nathan, next few months. Tough grind.
Yeah, I've been here before. Come on, Richie. Give it to us. Both barrels. Raw.
No, we see, I was among the hopeful crowd that Mayo would actually get it done. But when you zoom out and, as Adrian pointed out there, look at the route that Tyrone took towards the final. Like, we were all foolish for questioning whether or not Mayo would win this, because it looked like, you know, Tyrone were the only show in town, and so proved to be. What struck me throughout the course of the game, I don't know if anybody else said this, is, like, you alluded to there, Nathan, that they were missing the spark. They were missing that kind of ignition at some point during the game. Like, that's a worry if you need that in an All-Ireland final or during an All-Ireland final. But perhaps playing into that a little bit, like, Mayo's handling throughout the game, I thought, was really, really poor. And I don't know if that was down to a mental block. I don't know if it was down to nerves. I don't know if it was down to a lack of preparation or what. But so many times when the ball was played to hand, there was either a little flub, a little slip, an almost drop, which cost you that half a stride or a stride as you're trying to make your way towards goal. And that was really evident, like, literally throughout the course of Mayo's performance, not just when they fell behind, but throughout the course of the game. And I thought really set them back. But like I mentioned, like, Tyrone were brilliant. Like, they were absolutely, they had their game plan and executed it to a T. Were able to call upon a really smart and a really effectual bench with Colin McShane coming off, with young Canavan coming on as well. Like, they were by far the better team. I don't think anybody, and that's probably why you're in the mood you are in this evening and the last couple of days, is that you can't really have any complaints and that nobody can really have any qualms about how this went. There's no sense of injustice. There's no sense of a massive hammering. It's the better team on the day beats the less good team on the day. And that's why we have Tyrone's All-Ireland champs.
I'm interested to hear Mike Quirk and Billy Joe Patton's analysis, because my sense in the stadium for the first 20 minutes is Mayo are getting at them with the running game. And it was only after about 20 minutes you realise, actually, Tyrone are quite happy to get at, to let Mayo at them with the running game, because they were just sucking them in, got to the 45, and then put them under such pressure. As you say, they made countless handling errors. They were rushing shots. And you compare it to the quality of Tyrone's finishing, but they always had that extra half a second for their finishing. Where you look at Mayo's shots and attempts, pointed out in some of the analysis today, they weren't taking pot shots from wild areas out past the 45. They were all actually in the scoring zone where you should be taking shots from, but their finishing was just so poor. A lot of that you got to give Tyrone credit for their defensive system, but also just on the day players didn't perform, and that is going to take a long time to get over. But look, we can analyse it to death. This text, I think, needs good analysis, fair analysis, and we should spend time on it over the next 3 hours. At this stage, is it worth considering that the curse may actually be real? It is statistically almost impossible for a good team like Mayo to lose 11 in a row. All credit to Tyrone and Ferris, who played incredible football and fully deserved it. It's a very, very valid point at this stage. Mayo's second half team all year, Tyrone's bench, we're always going to stop that. Can't believe I was the only one to see this, says Kieran in Shillelagh. Is it Shillelagh? Where's Shillelagh?
The Shillelagh under his arm.
I don't know. Where is Shillelagh? Is that how am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't know. It sounds Shillelagh. Like the way Shillelagh. You're saying it sounds like a town in Southeast Asia somewhere.
Oh, right. JP says it's Wexford, Waterford type of the world. Let us know if you're in Shillelagh or Shillelagh. But you were the only one who knew, it seems, anyways, Kieran, that Tyrone were going to stop this due to their bench. And Nathan Mayo had 5 goal-scoring chances, took none of them. 2 for Walsh, O'Shea, Conroy, O'Donoghue. No composure to score a goal. Any goal would have given momentum to Mayo. All-Ireland went to begging again, says Albert in Tempelogan. It's hard to disagree with that in one way.
Were they taking on too many, Nathan? Were they taking on too many goals? Were they chasing the game before they needed to chase it?
Yeah. I felt in the last 10 minutes they were chasing it before they needed to. Even after the second Tyrone goal, that it sort of felt, get to within a point in 70 minutes, just take it calmly and then try and bring it to extra time. But there was a sense of, uh-oh, this is getting away from us. And maybe when you're in that heat of the battle, it's impossible not to panic and feel we got to do something. But I thought the goal chances were all fair goal chances, that in that position, you want to take them on. Like, do you want Aidan O'Shea hand passing over the bar from there?
Probably, to be honest, like guarantee your score. Look, it's either of us schmucks sitting here saying, here's what you're going to do in that position. Who the hell knows? But you keep the score. But when the game is not going your way, and the chances that you mentioned the scoring charts earlier, was it Colin Trainer? Is that his name on Twitter? He did up a brilliant scoring chart, and it looked to be as if both of them were shooting from roughly the same range, except for Tyrone had a better quality of shooter. And the points were going over. Mayo didn't have that. And I think in that context, I do get the temptation of going for goal. But I thought some of them were on the low percentage side. And I do think you got to, particularly so far out from the finish line, just try and keep that scoreboard ticking over. Like, I don't know, the goals, even the Tyrone goals went in, as mad as they were, like Henley hit the ball straight out. Mayo weren't shell-shocked. Like, it looked like they were like, okay, reset, let's go again. Like, it just, they looked more shell-shocked at the other end, where they just couldn't, by hook or crook, get that scoreboard taken over.
Noel Gormley's got a quick-fire email in. Love the show, but can we stop the what-ifs with regard to Mayo in the final? They've now had 13 goals at winning a final. It's not a curse. It's no scoring forwards, no composure in front of goal, and poor decisions both on and off the pitch. God, I'd love to see Mayo win, but please look at the numbers and facts. I got the sense after the game on Saturday night that people are sick of Mayo now, that for a long time the rest of the country thought, it'd be great to see. There's the novelty and the fairy tale and what it would be like and the craziness that would follow. Whereas now, they're sort of, lads, how many chances do you need?
There's an emotional scar tissue.
Kind of dumb with you.
There's an emotional scar tissue attached now that I think is going to be hard to shake. I mean, one of the things we heard ad nauseum heading into the match was that the younger players don't have any fear because they, you know, they haven't been here before. They haven't suffered disappointment before. But now not only have they suffered that disappointment, but they also still have experienced players around them with whom they kind of feel, oh, I've let that older player down, whether it's your Lee Keegan or your Colin Boyle or whomever's still left on the squad.
Like, How good is Lee Keegan? Like, bloody hell.
Very good. Very good. But that kind
best
of...
Best player never to win in All-Ireland?
He's heading that way. He probably will be heading that way, all right, yeah.
God, I hope he doesn't retire.
For not like crediting the how amazing Tyrone were and what an unbelievable team they are, and how they're going to be around for years, aren't they? Was it two players that are over 30? Am I right in that something that range? They really are an incredible side. God, they showed so much for a team that, again, in their life cycle, that I thought that was beyond them this year. I know when we were going through our quick picks on AM over the last few months, I hadn't gone for them all the time. I have to say, I know Aisling O'Reilly was calling them left, right, and centre, and proved to be brilliant shouts. But they look brilliant. They look so mature. They look right at home. They're bringing off, look at the quality of the players they're bringing off the bench. Like, the two of them, McShane and Canavan, walk into most teams, first teams in the country. And look, they probably do with Tyrone too. And maybe youth and injury is the thing that was the reason they didn't start. But when they've got that sort of depth, They are around for what, the next 5-6 years more?
Yeah, we got Brian Duher coming up in about 10 minutes time. Like, geez, what an achievement. Everyone wondered what would happen when Mickey Hart stepped away, when they conceded 6-15 against Kerry. That was 11 weeks ago. To bounce back from that and to go on the run, you mentioned, through Ulster, where they take on all the big guns, get through that, beat Kerry, have the entire COVID situation, and then win All-Ireland. It is one of the great managerial achievements from himself and Fergal Logan. We do need to get into the news round because there's plenty going on. It is with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Say loads of analysis, though, to come over the next hour and 10, 15 minutes on the football final. Where are you starting, Richie?
We'll start with Croke Park yesterday, where Galway were crowned All-Ireland Senior Camogie Champions for just the fourth time. A second-half goal from Siobhan McGrath was the difference as they beat Cork on a scoreline of 115 to 112 at Croke Park to lift the O'Duffy Cup for the second time in 3 years. Galway captain Sarah Dervin was on this morning's OTB AM and said the late inclusion of Cork's Orla Cronin was not a distraction.
We knew, obviously, that what was going on in the background, but, like, we wanted to focus on ourselves and we wanted to focus on what we could bring and, you know, if Orla got off or not got off, it didn't matter to us. What mattered to us was, you know, 15 players plus the 20-odd girls on the bench, what we could bring and what we could, you know, attack the game with. And we played to our strengths and that's what we focused on. If she was playing, she was playing. If she wasn't, she wasn't. And we couldn't control that. As you said, you can't, you know, control what you control. But we've just focused on ourselves and, you know, we let management, if they wanted to work on that, they work on that. But as players, we blocked out the noise and we just focused on the game.
Yeah, Sarah Durbin there on OTB AM. You can catch that full interview on the OTB Sports app. Just subscribe to all our GAA podcasts. And we're going to have analysis of that game coming up with Ursula Jacob after 8 o'clock as well. Richie.
Tyrone goalkeeper Noel Morgan has denied that the county tried to cheat the system. Their All-Ireland semi-final with Kerry was deferred by a fortnight after half the Tyrone panel contracted COVID-19. Morgan was between the posts as Tyrone claimed they forced Sam Maguire on Saturday evening, and he told this morning's OTB AM that accusations of deception are wide of the mark.
If we had went down the following week, we would have maybe had, you know, 20 fit players, if that, and then you're going to have to take risks on boys that had got COVID in the week leading up to it. And it just, you know, it is a pandemic. It is a health emergency at the end of the day. And we have had our tragedies up here the same way everybody else has. So it was kind of disappointing the way people called us out as if, you know, we are trying to cheat the system. You know, it did work out in our favour in the end, but, you know, Croke Park had the right to turn around and say, well, look, if yous are pulling out, yous are pulling out. It was them that gave us the lifeline in the extra game. And to be fair to Kerry coming out as well and saying they were willing to play. So you knew if Croke Park had to turn around and give Kerry a buy into the final, that you were taking away probably the integrity of the competition. But it was a stance we had to take, and it definitely was the right one.
Fascinating interview with Niall Morgan, well worth checking out. And what a season he has had. He's just this magnetic presence when you're watching him, the way he moves and the way he pops up and the impact he has on this Tyrone team. Richie, some news in the last hour for the Irish women's rugby team. It has been a bad, bad week for weekend for rugby in this country.
Yeah, and it's gotten even worse. Ireland are already on the back foot as they look to qualify for October's World Cup finals. Adam Grigg's side have been beaten 8-7 by Spain in Parma. Earlier today, tournament hosts Italy ran in 6 tries as they beat Scotland 38-13. Only the group winners, will qualify for New Zealand, and Ireland come up against Italy in their second game of the tournament on Sunday.
So it's a 4-team group?
Yeah, 4-team group. Essentially, the group winners will qualify directly for the World Cup. Only the team then who finishes runner-up will go into what's called a final qualification tournament. So they'll face Colombia and Samoa in that one. And the winners of that final qualifying tournament go into an absolute dog of a group with New Zealand, Australia and Wales. But given Ireland's performance today and given how things have gone for Ireland in the past year or more, you wouldn't really bet on them even finishing second in this group, particularly after that defeat to Spain today.
Yeah, it's a massive shock. And I'm sure everyone at this stage has seen the footage of the changing facilities at the interprovincial game over the weekend as well. And we're going to be talking tomorrow night, actually. We've got a special panel. We've got Fiona Coughlin, Niamh Briggs and Alison Miller on to talk about the interprovincials and the women's game at the moment. And Adrian, I'm sure those players, when they think about the Grand Slam and the World Cup success and Irish rugby been on the cusp of something great at that stage, like, it must be just so frustrating that it has never been capitalised on.
Yeah, I mean, and the result today is that there are two very different conversations, obviously that maybe in some ways stem back to the same thing. But looking at the video of those facilities, I mean, when it's pointed out, I'm sure everybody who's involved goes, oh my God, yeah, actually that's terrible. But bloody hell, how have they been allowed to get into that sort of a situation? As somebody had pointed out on Twitter, the men are obviously involved in playing a warm-up up the road in the finest of facilities. And just how it gets to that, like, I mean, at every level, the decision that gets made to put it there, you know, and obviously that's handed down to the people who are putting it up, but that nobody along the track goes, hang on a second,
what's going on?
Is brutal. Yeah, no, it, it needs to be better. You just hope that off the back of it, that when it gets pointed out and it gets spoken about, and as you said, we've a great panel on tomorrow night, and I'm sure it'll be, you'll spend plenty of time discussing it, but it needs to be now like a landmark in the road or another staging post in the road that just never happens again.
We're pretty much done for time, Richie, but there are a couple of live games tonight we'll be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, Bohemians going to one of the SSE or Tristy Premier Division sides, Premier Division's informed sides tonight. Keith Long's Gypsies away to Finn Harps, a side of accrued 13 points from a possible 15, and kickoff in Ballybuffet is at 8. Seamus Coleman captains Everton tonight for their Premier League meeting with Burnley, kickoff for Goodison also coming up at 8 p.m. And Ireland have shared the spoils with Zimbabwe in their brief one-day series in Belfast. The hosts won today's third and final meeting of the teams by 7 wickets, having reached a weather-adjusted target of 118 with just under 10 overs to spare. The series finish one apiece, and that's after Ireland beat Zimbabwe in the T20 series.
All right, Richie, thanks as always for that. Adrian, keep wearing the green and red. Wear it with pride.
The news round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.